Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
You know, I wanted to make history here, and that's all I did. I just, you know, I'm still playing basketball no matter what jersey I have on. The guys here been, you know, making runs in the playoffs before I came. So I know they're a talented team, and, you know, I just came in with the right mindset. Let's go out and win ball games. I text Kyle probably a day later or the day that I got traded and told him, let's go out and do something special. I know your best friend left. I know you're mad. But, you know, let's make this thing work out. And we're here today.
Sports Up Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. That's the dynasty killer. Kawhi Leonard, finals MVP again. Play that for a reason, because the Toronto Raptors win Game 6 in Oakland against the Warriors on Thursday night. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard, I think, has proven himself to be maybe even one of, if not the best players in the NBA with this postseason run and how he played. And it was a little bit, you know, he was better in other rounds, but he was still excellent, I think, in the finals against the Warriors. But I play that for a reason, because I think that Danny Ainge is going to look at what happened with Toronto and specifically with Kawhi Leonard, because I'm convinced he's still going to leave and probably go to the Clippers, and this is going to be like a one-off for him. And, hey, congrats to Toronto, and they got what they needed out of this. But my fear is, Chris, is that Danny Ainge is going to look at what happened with the Toronto Raptors and with Kawhi Leonard and say, like, hey, it's a one-off, and I should do the same thing with Anthony Davis. And I hope that he does not do this, because Anthony Davis, I think, is a bad comp for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard had a proven track record when that deal was made. He was a finals MVP. He had won a title. Anthony Davis, for all his talent, is a big man with a spotty injury history who couldn't win more than one measly playoff round since he's come into the league. I don't think you can compare Anthony Davis to Kawhi Leonard, who, again, had won a title prior to Toronto dealing for him, an MVP of the finals, one of, if not the, best two-way players in the NBA. You will not get the same results from Anthony Davis, in my opinion. You won't. He's a volume scorer with a lot of talent, and I think he's got some bitch in him. He's tall Kyrie. I'm referring to Anthony Davis from here on out as tall Kyrie
tall
Irving.
Kyrie.
Don't do this. Do not do this. And the other thing is his agent, Rich Paul, has now gone on record this week, another thing that proves this was a bad week for Boston sports, literally screaming into the faces of Danny Ainge and collectively all the Celtics fans, he's not going to re-sign. He's not going to re-sign. You get him for 1 year. So if you trade away guys that you look at as the future, maybe Tatum, Brown, maybe together, don't be mad at us. Don't be mad at Rich Paul. Don't be mad at Anthony Davis when he does not re-up with you after 2020. You can't be mad, because I told you. So that's that reason more than anything else. Don't do it. Because I just, more than anything else, like Anthony Davis, great, nice. But I just don't think he is the guy like Kawhi Leonard is. So I hope that Danny Ainge doesn't feel forced into doing this move because of what he just watched with this series and the Raptors winning.
I mean, I think it's going to embolden a lot of teams to look at Anthony Davis or players who maybe sort of are in that ilk, guys who maybe would not commit long-term to the franchise trying to acquire them. I look, we all know sports are a copycat league, you know, copycat sort of situation. So if it works for one team, other teams are going to look at it and say, well, we can do that too. What was unique about the situation with Leonard was that, one, the Raptors were in a desperation place. They were completely stymied in their attempts to be a legitimate contender. They really were desperate to change the culture of the team and the outcome in the postseason. Two, the whole situation with Leonard and the Spurs that went awry created a situation where he was available for pennies on the dollar. It was much easier to acquire than, say, Anthony Davis, who I think it's going to cost the Celtics. It's going to be an exorbitant price for the Celtics in terms of what they're going to have to give up. And then the third thing here is, Kawhi was great. He was great. He was legendary. There's no question about it. But this whole thing doesn't work out for the Raptors unless Pascal Siakam emerges as a borderline all-star. Like, if that doesn't happen and it's just Kawhi and Lowry and that's it, they have like a big two and a bunch of stiffs, which I'm not saying those other guys are actually stiffs because I'm a big Van Vliet fan.
But me too, but they're inconsistent.
But you get my point. Like,
guys,
like yeah. If you don't have three sort of like all-star-ish players, you're not going to win. I don't care who you are. And so it worked out. Everything worked out for Masai Ujiri. That one's just for you, Felger. And everything worked out perfectly for him. But it wasn't just Leonard, and it was a unique confluence of circumstances. And if you think that you can be in a position to duplicate that and you're the Celtics, oh, I think you got another thing coming.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you were saying yesterday, it's about getting the guy and then figuring it out from later.
In that league,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know. Anthony Davis doesn't, again, it, the fact for all his talent, and a guy his size, that he's won one round, and I know he's been in the West, but one measly round, and that came when you got excellent play from Drew Holiday in that series against Portland and that season. They were helped out with Boogie Cousins when he went to that team prior to his injury. Like, he had some help that year. I don't think that
So you don't think Anthony Davis is that good? Because I disagree with you on this. I'm not putting Anthony Davis in Kawhi's class. Obviously, he hasn't shown it yet. But I do think he's a number one. I think he can be the best player on a championship team. And I think he's still growing. But you don't feel like he's worth it.
I don't think that he's that. I think that whole thing that happened at the end of that. And granted, we knew it was going to end there in New Orleans. But how he handled it with the I don't dress myself, and he has the That's All Folks t-shirt on. He's flipping off fans. That's where I was like, oh, my God, he's tall Kyrie. He's got some bitch in him. Like, I don't want any part of this. We just went through this. Kyrie's gone, and we'll get to that, too. But with Anthony Davis, I'm all set. Now, if we're talking Kawhi Leonard, and it was still going to be a one-off, oh, hell, I'd do that tonight, even if that means you're risking the future and Tatum turns into a top-five player. But, yes, and does that because that to me, almost guarantees a championship. Kawhi is the guy. Now that you have Durant injured, with what happened in that series, and that's terrible what happened there. But I think that the league is now more wide open than ever.
Well, that's the other thing that's going to, I think, embolden maybe Ainge and some other people. It feels like the Warriors are vulnerable. It's wide open, and even for a year, you could collect a ring.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, like, I understand, like, fans are going to be fans, and you're mad at a lot of bitching about Rich Paul. I hate Rich Paul. Do you not see the draw for this guy? I can't believe he doesn't have more clients, and it's just not with his connection with LeBron James. He's maybe the most relatable agent in the history of sports that I can think of. The guy started his career, his hustle by selling throwback jerseys out of the back of his trunk. If that's not relatable to an NBA player, an African American, a young African American, like a guy that like hustles on the streets and makes his name and comes kind of from nothing, like I don't know what the hell to tell you people. And the other thing is, he doesn't want you. Anthony Davis doesn't want to be here. He doesn't. He'll play here. And I understand that. Like the argument always back is, this is the greatest place to play. It's Titletown, and that's true. If that's important to you, I don't think that that's as important to Anthony Davis as it is to a lot of fans and a lot of people around here. So get it through your thick skulls. He's 26 years old. He's a household name in the NBA, and if winning's not the most important thing to you, to Anthony Davis, and I don't think that it is. I think he just wants to, you know, the glitz and glamour of certain cities and playing in a place like New York or L.A. What's the draw here? I'll ask a million times. I'm born and raised, so I feel comfortable ragging on this place. I'll die here, for better or worse. But if you're 26...
I thought you were going to die in Atlanta.
If you're 26... Oh, I was getting there. If you're 26, young NBA player, and winning is truly not the most important thing... What's the draw here? Our vast fields of negativity, our terrible traffic, 11 months of terrible weather, doughy sixes, bad nightlife. Tell me, what's the draw? If you plan on having a family.
The passion of the fans, Jim.
Yeah, if you plan on having a family, the schools, fine. He's 26 years old. You think he's thinking about that right now? Oh, well, the medical care. He plays in the NBA. You get great medical care even if you're playing a hellhole like Memphis. What's the draw here? He don't want to be here. Get it through your heads. So do you want Anthony Davis, though, still, with all that being known? Let us know. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls on that. Kyrie has one foot out the door. You happy about that? Sounds like it's all but a formality before he signs with the Brooklyn Nets. And I saw you mention this, too, because Adam Himmelsbach had a column on this, your colleague at the Globe. There's a connection I think people are missing when it comes to the Roc Nation, who Kyrie now signed with this week. And the Brooklyn Nets. And it doesn't have to do with Jay-Z. So we'll get to that as well. Coming up here, Sports Up Celtic Show, 98.5 The Sports Up.
Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Up Celtic Show on 98.5 Sports Up.
I think it's safe to say that the Celtics have had that conversation with Kyrie Irving, that they hope that the Anthony Davis trade, if they could actually pull it off, would be the Hail Mary that convinces him to stay or changes his mind, wherever his mind's at now. We'll see.
Welcome back, Sports Up Celtics Show. Jim Murray and Chris Gasper and you at 617-779-0985. So that was Zach Lowe on ESPN's The Jump yesterday saying, hey, well, maybe Kyrie can still be convinced to stay with the Celtics if Danny Ainge and the Green trade for Anthony Davis.
You really believe that?
Man, that's risky. I mean,
dude, don't fool yourselves. He's gone. He fired his agent earlier this week. He signs with Roc Nation, who have ties to the Brooklyn Nets. And we'll get to that in just a second because you pointed this out on Twitter last night, too. And someone had given me a heads up on this. And it's not just going to have to do with Jay-Z, who no longer actually has anything to do with the Nets, by the way. He had some ownership stake in the Brooklyn Nets, but doesn't anymore. But, you know, he started the Roc Nation firm. But anyway, for those not paying attention, I mean, it's as good as done. Anyone that's really plugged into the league, including Steve Bolpet, who, correct me if I'm wrong here, you know, has the ear of Danny Ainge. There's a good rapport there, so I think he gets a lot of his stuff straight from the mouth of Danny.
Yeah, he does. He's the longest tenured beat writer, not only in Boston, but in the NBA.
Writes in the Boston Herald just a few days ago, according to a source with ties to Roc Nation, the organization expected to become Irving's new representative, has. The point guard prepared to sign with the Brooklyn Nets when he becomes a free agent next month. A separate league source told the Herald that that his team, not the Celtics, has received the same information and is operating under the belief that Irving wants to join the Nets. And he's doing the whole, I'm coming home, just like the guy he supposedly hated, LeBron James, on Instagram just a few weeks ago when he's doing the whole love letter to his city and hugging it out with his old crossing guard. He's going back to Jersey/Brooklyn so he can be with the Nets. That's it. It's gone. Doesn't even matter if they trade for Anthony Davis. Kyrie Irving is gone. See ya. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. So I mentioned the connection between the two, Roc Nation and Brooklyn and the Nets. The president of Roc Nation Sports, Michael Yormark, his twin brother, Brett, is currently the CEO of the Brooklyn Nets. Like,
yeah,
talk about
Adam
collusion.
Hemlock, yeah, pointed this out. I mean, that's a big one. And I feel like it's shocking that more people haven't made that connection, and Hemelsbach did, and the Globe. That's really interesting. Like, if that doesn't tell you it's a done deal, what does?
Yeah, but you still think, because of how, I don't want to use the word mercurial again, but what kind of an oddball the Kyrie Irving
just
is.
Just say it, mercurial.
There's still like a slight chance that he may change his mind because he runs so hot and cold, and he may come back just because maybe he's sick of hearing people saying, oh, he's gone. He's as good as gone. He's going to Brooklyn. And it's almost like, I'll show them. I'm going back to Boston.
Or it could just be like anything in his life. Like, you know, he could see like, he could be making toast one day and see, like, the Celtics logo in the toast and take it as a sign.
Yeah,
like,
right.
or he could...
The numbers line up one day.
Yeah, or he sees that, you know, that Eye of Providence symbol that he's so, you know, enamored with. He sees that somewhere and somehow connected with Boston. He says, oh, I meant to go back here. Who knows? Like, I mean, do you really think, as much as we just talked about... And look, I've been saying he's gone for a while. And look... I want the guy back. This is one where I actually want to be wrong. But even from the moment he made that proclamation on October 4th, I feel like I was one of the early people to be like,
really were.
Yeah, I'm not buying this. Like, let's see what happens. So the reality of this guy is, until it actually happens, until he puts, you know, pen to paper, it's hard to sort of buy anything that you're hearing from him, because he could change his mind just like that, and he will jilt these Yormark brothers, or however it's pronounced, just like he's prepared to jilt Celtics fans.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he doesn't care. He doesn't care what we think.
Well, that's obviously...
That's the bottom line. And I'm not even saying that's a bad thing, but that's just the way he operates. He does not care what we think. He's going to do what he thinks is best for him, and he doesn't care about the fallout because he's a nonconformist. He could care less how it makes him look or what you think about him leaving Boston or if he jilted the Nets or whatever. Does not care.
We'll go to Mark in Lynn, the city, on Kyrie Irving. You're first up here on the Sports Up Celtics show. Hey.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I think the Celtics could trade Irving to the Nets and get maybe D'Angelo Russell, and that way Irving gets more money if he signs with the Celtics first and then trades than he would get signing as a free agent.
Thanks for the call, Mark. So, I mean, in terms of the financial aspect...
Not doable.
No,
it's really not. I mean, I saw this. Somebody had this on Twitter.
I mean, it would certainly
Keith
benefit
Smith
Kyrie.
Who had this on Twitter last night. Like, sign-in trades like this are, you know, I wish B-Rob were here to, you know, talk us through this. But they're not really easy to pull off. And my understanding is, like, once you do that, you do a deal like that, you're, like, hard-capping both teams, which they're not going to want. Like, you're stuck to the hard cap at that point. You can't go over to sign your own guys and do other stuff. So I just don't think... Also, why would the Nets do that? I mean, they can just sign him outright.
Yeah, no.
But, oh, by the way, here's the other part of this, too. Whatever deal he signs, I guarantee is going to have an opt-out after 2 years, because at that point, he'll have 10 years in the league, and all the math will change on what he can earn in a Supermax deal. So there's no... Like, he's going to have... And here's the other thing I'll say, too. I looked in the contract thing. You know, yes, the Celtics can offer him more. They can offer him a fifth year and $49 million more. But all, like, 43 of that 49 is in the fifth year. Over the 4 years, you know what the difference is between what the Celtics can offer him and the Nets? It's $6 million. And he's going to opt out of that in 2 years anyway to sign, like, a new Supermax with reconfigured numbers based on being in the league for 10 years. So forget that.
So the caller brought up D'Angelo Russell. And I've wondered, you know, just silly me. I mean, when it was first, you know, the rumors started to bubble about Kyrie having interest in the Brooklyn Nets. I wondered about the basketball standpoint. Like, how can two ball-dominant point guards actually work on the same team? Jim, they'll figure it out. Rubble. Well, I see this from Ian Begley of SNY, who writes, the Brooklyn Nets being viewed as one of the front-runners, if not the leader in the clubhouse, to sign free agent Kyrie Irving this summer. If that happens, the team highly unlikely to keep its own restricted free agent D'Angelo Russell. Ian Begley goes on to write, as of late this week, teams interested in pursuing Kyrie Irving remained under the impression the Nets are the odds-on favorite. But no team interested in Irving, including the Knicks and Lakers, has been led to believe they're out of the running to sign him, those sources say. Okay, if Irving ends up signing in Brooklyn, it may have an interesting ripple effect on the roster, particularly D'Angelo Russell. If Irving signs with the Nets, SNY sources familiar with the matter say it's highly unlikely Russell remains with the Nets. Members of the Nets organization have communicated that idea in recent days, according to sources. Huh. Well, if he were to go there, what if he came here? Like, how much of a...
As a restricted free agent?
Yeah.
I like D'Angelo Russell. You know, obviously, the situation in L.A. was bad for him. He, snitched on Nick Young when it came to Nick Young not being faithful to Iggy Azalea. So that really... He lost a lot of street cred and credibility and trust in an NBA locker room, but he's rebuilt his career with the Nets. He had an all-star season. I take him here. You know, so when I was poo-pooing the signing trade, it has nothing to do with the player.
Sure.
It's just the stupid machinations of the NBA CBA, which I don't like, by the way, because I think they make it a lot less fun. But yeah, I mean, if you could get D'Angelo Russell, let me put it like this in terms that Celtics fans will understand. D'Angelo Russell is twice the player that Terry Rozier is.
Oh, yeah, you know, that goes without saying. Say, I think Brad Wanamaker actually might be better than
okay,
Terry.
That's a little extreme. I mean, Terry has his talents, but...
617-779-0985. So, you good with Kyrie essentially all but gone and going to the Nets? And do you still want Anthony Davis with, the assurance of knowing, at least according to his agent Rich Paul, he don't want to be here long term. It's just for 1 year. Maybe you've been duped after seeing what happened with the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard, because it feels like he's going to be gone from there. See? No, he's
You do know this is Danny's white whale, though, right?
I know, and it has been for a while.
This is like the high school crush or whatever, and it's like, oh, now he or she is, like, single all these years later, and it's like, I got to take my shot. I feel like that's Danny.
And that's a great analogy, actually, yeah. No, this is something, you know, you get into freshman year, you've been obsessed with this one particular gal, and then finally senior year, she's broken up with the football hero, and you're like, I got my chance. I no longer am Zitty. I actually have my chance. And you find out she's just a dud. I don't know, Danny. Don't be fooled. That Anthony Davis is no Kawhi Leonard. I'm glad you laughed that hard. I didn't even think it was that funny there, Chris.
I liked it, too.
You're an easy foil for me. All right, Sarge, give us the Sports Up headlines. Let us know what's going on in the world of sports. And then back to your calls here on the Sports Up Celtic Show on 98.5 of Sports Up.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I remember a few months ago you talked about you can't do anything until obviously free agency starts. You used the analogy kind of like that's when you can kind of have the wedding. Well, is the wedding still on?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I could say about that, honestly, but there's ongoing conversations. Yeah, we just have to wait and see what happens there.
But he hasn't given, or his camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication, no.
I talked to one guy who was the same guy that told me Durant was going to the Warriors in January of that year. The same guy said, don't fall for it with this Kyrie stuff. Don't fall for it all year long. Because he's not coming back, he's not coming back, he's not coming back, he's not coming back. And when everybody thought he was coming back, the same guy was like, he's not. He's like, I'm telling you right now, he's not. Kyrie just knew, let me just play it this way. And either he convinced Boston he was coming back, or Boston's game plan as a front office was that everybody they talked to, just positive, positive, positive. Kyrie's coming back. It's a certainty. It's a lock. It's the whole thing. I don't think Kyrie had any intention of sticking around. And I think it goes back to last year in the playoffs and not showing up. I think all this stuff is connected. And whether Boston knew it and played it a certain way or Kyrie played them, and that's fine because what they gave up asset-wise...
It was a great risk. I support it.
And good trade.
We made a risk by trading for Kyrie. And no matter what happens with Kyrie, I'll never regret that. Just move on.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So you hear Ryan Russillo in there on the Bill Simmons podcast talking about what he had heard going back to October when you were calling it, Chris. I'm not taking Kyrie at his word. And, of course, you hear a broken Danny Ainge who's coming to grips with the fact the marriage is off. And it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. Poor Danny. Really. Guy's dealing with health issues. He has to deal with this crap with this mercurial Kyrie Irving. Oh. Go to Brooklyn. Goodbye. But is he still going to be in on Anthony Davis? Is he going to chase the white whale, as you referred to it? It's the white whale of Danny Ainge. He's been lusting for Anthony Davis for quite some time. And with what happened with the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard, and it feels like he's going to be one and done in Toronto, does he feel even more pressured now? Like, I can do the same thing. I can repeat the same thing here with Anthony Davis. Don't do it. He's just a tall Kyrie Irving. Riley in Marblehead, your thoughts on this? You're next here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Go ahead.
So I'm just saying, I feel like Kyrie Irving is the most underappreciated player in Boston right now. I mean, the guy made All-NBA second team. He really stepped it up in the season, I feel. Season high in assists, too.
Yeah, the numbers.
Yeah, he was efficient.
Yeah, the numbers were great. But what about all the behind-the-scenes stuff and the fact that he couldn't, capitulate to some of the younger guys? And granted, they were just as complicit in some of the bitchiness that went on behind the scenes. But, did he really come off as a great teammate, Riley?
Yeah, I guess I see where you're coming from there.
Yeah, no, but you're right to say, look, numbers-wise, he was great.
I still want him back. He's one of my favorite players in the league. I know I'm in the minority.
Maz is with you, too.
But he's not coming back. I mean, it's not about whether he's good enough, because I think he is good enough, but it's just a question of the fit here, and he just doesn't seem happy. And to Ryan Russillo's point there, it seems like what Russillo's doing is like, here's what I've said all along. I've said that because he is, yes, mercurial, that even if he meant it on October the 4th, that wasn't going to mean anything on June 30th or July 1 or July 2, whatever. So there was a long way to go.
Yeah.
Now, Russillo seems to have some really good inside information saying that basically this was all premeditated and that he was playing the Celtics all along, which I think would be a lot worse if that is sort of the case. But either way, like, he's not coming back, and it's not a question of fit from a basketball standpoint. It's a question of, does Irving want to be here? Danny Ainge, the Celtics, those guys, they would take him back tomorrow. I know there's a lot of fans who wouldn't, but they would take him back tomorrow. And just quickly to the point that Russillo made, like, I would still make the trade. Like, what did they give up? The number 8 pick, which was Colin Sexton? So what?
Oh, no.
I mean, Isaiah Thomas, I loved Isaiah Thomas, but they knew he had a chronic hip injury and wasn't going to be the same guy coming back. They gave up Jay Crowder in that contract. Jicic, so what? For what they gave up, it was worth a roll of the dice. Conversely, though, I would say for what you have to give up for Anthony Davis, which is going to include Tatum and the Memphis pick and all this other stuff because of the way the draft lottery went, I'm not sure it's worth it.
Going to go to Ryan in Manchester on Kyrie Irving. Hey, Ryan.
I got to know, there's no way Kyrie puts himself in the spot to make that commercial with his father, who played at UMass, I believe,
about
putting
BU.
His number in the BU and making the announcement. Kyrie doesn't need to do that and to defuse, the questions. He didn't need to put himself in that spot. So something in the middle of the year changed, and we need to get the inside scoop. And I don't know if it's the way Danny Ainge has been dealing with, guys like Pons. Because if you look at these things, they're all at weddings. They're all buddy-buddy. They're all at the same weddings. And the word is out, and something's up. And it could be the IT stuff. But I'll tell you, one guy I think is scorned, and he's already been giving me little crumbs, is Jason Tatum. Because his lifelong dream, he said it a million times in every interview, was to be the number one pick in the NBA draft. And he keeps saying it, and he keeps saying it. And don't think he's not upset about it. So maybe they know he's out the door in a couple of years. And same thing with Jaylen Brown. But something happened in the middle of the year, and I wish you could set some insight on that.
Well, the real turning point felt like it was the week leading up to the Super Bowl. That's where, you got really, Kyrie at his bitchiest, where he was saying, talk to me July 1st, and there was all that kind of thing. And it was funny, at the same time, out in Oakland, you were getting the same kind of attitude from Kevin Durant, who was tired of the media speculating on whether or not he was going to end up re-signing in the offseason. So I don't know. It felt, to me, that came off from the both of those guys as like they were mad at the fact that they couldn't control the message, mm-hmm. and they got their backs up about it, and it almost pushed them towards their decision of being like, you know what, I'm not dealing with this. I'm out, because they run so hot and cold like that.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, there's, you know, look, it's a player run league there. Players make decisions about where they want to go and who they want to play with, and you know that's what they bargained for, and that's their right. I mean, I have no problem with it, but yeah, stuff's going to get out there. Like, if you're plotting sort of behind the scenes, it's going to get out there. And you know, with Kyrie, I just sort of feel like I don't know what the tipping point was, but I think there maybe was a sense from him that he came here. Remember, the whole reason he wanted out of LeBron James' shadow was he wanted to have his own team. And I think he sort of felt like everybody here should have fallen in line and understood, everybody from Brad Stevens on down, this is my team, I'm the guy. And that's not really what happened. That's not really what happened with the young guys. It's not really what happened with Brad. And I'm not blaming Brad, but I'm just saying, you know, Brad's sort of been the leader of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Now here's this player saying, like, I'm the guy. And I think that kind of turned him off. The idea that he thought he was coming here as the anointed one and he was being a leader, but no one was following. And the other thing I'll say, too, is when he figured out Gordon Hayward wasn't Gordon Hayward, and he was like, ooh, who do I really have for a running mate here?
Oh, and I, you know, he was banking on that. Again, you go back to when he came here and they have that first press yep. conference and it's all smiles and they're looking at each other like it's, you know,
this
the
is going
to
be crazy,
sitcom.
G. That's what he said to
yeah.
him.
Yeah. And then he gets hurt and he's, what, like 30% at best of what he used to be. I can understand how that could turn him off, at least in terms of the basketball standpoint.
You know, and then he's listening to you and your David Price impressions and yeah. negativity. And he's like, I don't need this. I'm a positive guy. I don't need this stuff.
And so Anthony Davis, too, a guy that was playing in New Orleans, he's going to come here and he's going to have to deal with that kind of thing. Does he strike you for the bit that you know about Anthony Davis as yeah. a guy that would want to deal with that kind of crap
well,
as well?
I will say this about Anthony Davis. I mean, look, he played at Kentucky, and there's a lot of scrutiny there. That's a basketball-mad state, and, you know, Kentucky is, you know, Calipari's there. It's basically an NBA team. So I'm not saying it's the okay. same level of scrutiny as playing for a Boston sports team, but he's been under a microscope. He's played at Kentucky, was a number one pick. So I don't think he's as mentally weak as you're portraying him as. I think he might be a little bit sort of overeager and gullible and sort of saying like, oh, this is what the best players do. Like, so I should act like, you know, I need a stylist because the best players have a stylist. I think he might be a little bit of a follower and maybe not quite as confident in himself as he projects. But I don't think he's mentally weak.
All right. Well, Danny Ainge, I think, is right to not regret the Kyrie Irving trade, even though it's all seemingly falling apart and he's got a foot out the door and he's going to Brooklyn. So he's right to not feel regret there. But what about not dealing for Kawhi Leonard, especially with the fact that he is Finals MVP again and the Raptors just won the NBA championship? We'll get to that coming up next year in our long commercial-free segment, segueing into the final hour of Gasper Murray here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic Show on the home of the seas, 98.5 the Sports Hub.
I do know that there is some regret from some people within the Celtics organization about not pulling the trigger on a Kawhi Leonard deal last summer.
A lot of teams should regret that.
Well, the Celtics, though, that. I mean, it was pretty, like, they could have made a deal for Kawhi Leonard, my understanding from kind of both sides of this, involving Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, or Jaylen, at least Jaylen Brown is the centerpiece of it all. They didn't do it. In part because I don't think they wanted to tie themselves to two players that are going to be unrestricted free agents in the summer 19. At that time, they had no idea what Kyrie was going to do.
All right, so that's Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated talking about the regret that the Celtics may feel about not dealing for Kawhi Leonard. Now, that one you should feel regret about. The Kyrie Irving trade, like, who knew that it was going to end up the way that it ended up? At that time, like you mentioned earlier, they knew that Isaiah Thomas had the bad hip. It was only the eighth pick that ultimately became
Colin Sexton.
Colin Sexton.
Like, and unless you like any of the guys who went after, I mean, I like Kevin Knox, and there's Michael Porter Jr. We'll see what happens with his back. Shai Gilgeous Alexander. Like, unless really any of those guys become a star, like, what did you miss out on?
Yeah. So, more here from Zach Lowe of ESPN, who writes, if there is a team feeling Leonard regret right now, it's Boston. The Celtics had the coveted young players and draft picks to outbid Toronto. Boston larded up its offer, fattened up their offer with draft picks, but declined to include Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown without gaining more assurance that it was possible about Leonard's health and interest in re-signing, sources said at the time of the trade. Boston's fretful waffling was understandable in the moment. Brown appeared on track to be an all-star. Maybe more important, Boston believed it had a championship team already.
Told you that yesterday.
Yes. The Celtics had just taken James and the Cleveland Cavaliers to Game 7, LeBron James and the Cavs to Game 7, without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. Was it worth trading a key piece of what appeared then to be both a championship present and future to rent Leonard and watch him leave? It's incredible how much has changed for Boston in the past calendar year, how many things went wrong, how many carefully laid plans appear in jeopardy. Acquiring Leonard would also have left Boston with four max salary players in Irving, Hayward, Leonard, and Al Horford, untenable for long. Celtics were saving their chips for Anthony Davis. Everyone around the league, including the Raptors, wondered if Leonard's health would ever allow him to be the player he was in 2017. Well, he was. In retrospect, Celtics both too cautious and too optimistic about its existing core, you think? I was too, by the way. Speaking of thin margins, a lot of us got so wrapped up in Boston pushing Cleveland to seven that we breezed past the fact that a middling Milwaukee team had done the same to the Celtics two rounds earlier. Thank you, Zach Lowe.
Zach Lowe.
And let's pat ourselves on the back here, Chris and I, because we were the only two people to this day that said, you know what, that was a tougher series than people realized.
Oh, totally.
And if it was home court on the other end and Milwaukee had it, the Celtics would have lost totally in the first round. And in retrospect, that would have been the best thing that would have happened to them. Look, it's easier to look back now and say, hey, well, you know, they pushed the Cavs. They almost got to the finals. They believed in their core. But, man, does it hurt after what happened with Leonard in Toronto this year. Like, what a whiff.
Yeah, it's when you look at it, and you know me, like, you know, I'm president of the Jaylen Brown fan club. But the bottom line is they were unwilling to give up Jaylen to get Kawhi for the year. And at the end of the day, I think it's a situation and a scenario where they just felt like they already had enough. You know, Kawhi would be nice, and yeah, we'd be better, and it could work out really well, but we don't have to extend ourselves for this guy because we already feel like we have enough. And it didn't work out that way. They were wrong, and obviously Kawhi came back and ended up being exactly the player he was before the injury. And I just want to say quickly, I thought it was kind of cool that he won the championship at Oracle and closed out Oracle, because I don't know if people remember, but the last playoff game he played with the Spurs was at Oracle. And it was game one of that series in 2017 where Zaza Pachulia got underneath him, and he came down on Zaza's foot and twisted his ankle, which he'd already injured in the Houston series really badly, and was unable to come back in that series. And then the next year, during training camp, he comes up with the tendonitis in his quad, and it all unraveled from there. So it was kind of like poetic. He kind of came full circle there at Oracle.
Go to Richie in Boston. Hey, Richie, on the Sports Hub Celtics show here.
How you doing, guys? Great show, as always. Just had a couple quick questions. First, I was wondering what you guys thought about the Celtics possibly landing Brandon Clark, and if hypothetically Clark and Bol was available, who you guys would lean to. Also, I was wondering what you guys thought about letting Rozier walk and possibly looking to get D'Angelo Russell, and who you think the better point would be out of the two. So I'll just listen to what you guys have to say. Again, thanks.
Thanks, Richard. I appreciate the compliments. On the latter, yes, I am more than ready to see Terry Rozier walk. He has an inflated ego. He's not as good as he thinks he is. So, yes, I would prefer D'Angelo Russell to him. Goodbye. Goodbye. What did he say this week that him and Anthony Davis would be like Shaq and Kobe?
So somebody attributed that to him, and Terry immediately went on social media and basically said, like, you know, if you think I said this, like, you know, you're stupid enough to believe social. I don't think he said that.
Okay.
He immediately, like, debunked that, in fairness to Tara. He went on social media, like, immediately and was like, I didn't say this.
Okay. Well, but still, I'm good to move on from him. The draft coming up on Thursday.
Yeah.
Next week will be the final Sports Hub Celtics show of the season, so we'll be doing a lot of, like, post-draft stuff.
Yeah.
There is some reported interest. They've worked out the son of Manute Bol, Bol Bol of Oregon.
I'm not interested.
Is there anyone that you would like to see them target?
Yeah, I'm a big Romeo Langford guy from Indiana. You know, he had a tough year shooting, but he had a hand injury, and I think that Indiana program is still in transition with Archie Miller there. I just think there's more there than what you saw. This is a guy a lot of people thought was, you know, a top five, top 10 type of pick. He seems to be sliding down the board. I like Tyler Hero from Kentucky. I don't, you know how good he's going to be, but I know he has an NBA skill, which is shooting. I think the Celtics could use more of that. I think that was one of the sneaky things about the Celtics. They had a lot of guys who could make threes, but they didn't really have a lot of pure shooters to space the floor, so that would help as well. I have zero interest in Bol Bol. I think he's an injury risk waiting to happen, and there's questions about how hard he will play. And
well, that's what happened. He got injured last year, right?
At Oregon, yeah.
Talked about as like a top five pick, yeah, and now he'll be in the teens. Like,
no, I have no interest in that. Brandon Clark's interesting in that he has a lot of, you know, he sort of fits today's NBA as sort of a 3-and-D guy. I shouldn't say 3-and-D because I don't even know if he can outside shoot. But he's a guy who can defend really well, defend multiple positions, has a little bit of upside there. But I also feel like he's kind of maxed out. Like, I think he's a guy who's a tremendous athlete who benefited from just being a better athlete than a lot of guys he came up against in college at Gonzaga. I'm not wild about this draft. I'm going to be honest.
You think it's like two players, Zion and John Morant,
Right? Well, I like Garland. I know he got hurt at Vandy, and he's kind of the fourth pick. I'd say there's like four guys that I really, really like at the top of the draft, and then we'll see. But we always talk about this. It's like, what have we talked about all Sports Hub Celtics show? Kawhi Leonard. Like, what pick was he? 15.
Yeah.
You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
16.
There's always guys. So as much as I don't like this draft, like, Pascal Siakam was like the 27th pick in the 2016 draft. That's the thing. Like, Danny Ainge needs to hit on one of these picks at 20 or 22, because that's one thing that I feel like they really haven't done. You know, unless you're a big fan of Sullinger, unless you're like a big fan of a guy like that, like
in Japan now. Where
I don't even know, but they really haven't done that. It'd be nice to hit on one of those guys, but I think this is a poor draft to have three picks in outside the top 10. Just more bad luck for the Celtics.
Yeah, get ready for that on Thursday, everybody, and we'll recap it next week on the Sports Hub Celtics show. What suck picks will they make this year?
I can't wait to hear Jones.
All right, we'll wrap up that and head into the final hour of Gasper and Murray. We'll get into that right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Mike Sarge Riley. And then if you want to join us, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.